Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
You know, I had one of these before you sat down. I'm on my second one.
Oh my, I have to catch up.
You do. We like get yourself a refill. We're talking about Shakespeare's Macbeth at Little Lake.
Yes, Theater. We are talking about this play.
Oh, you don't want to say the title because of the super... That's if you're in a theater. And in many respects,
this is...
This
is my stage.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So you are going to avoid saying Macbeth throughout this whole thing, really?
The name of the show, the name of the main character, Lady Hmm-Hmm.
Lady Hmm.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
So this was very ambitious for Little
Oh,
Lake,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
Now, I would like to speak on behalf of the playwright.
Okay. We have criticisms of the playwright?
No, simply because he's unable to be with us today.
He can't do any rewrites from
now, there. Now, this is my thought on approaching Shakespeare. Perhaps it is my own, but I must. It seems to me that when actors do approach Shakespeare's language, it's kind of one or two things. And one is some try to pass it off as colloquial, common speech, you know, maybe even modern and like, you know, conversational. And I think something gets lost when that approach happens, because it is not common speech. It is poetry. And it was written as such, because people in Shakespeare's time were not on the streets speaking like this. It was thick language.
It was. And actually, I've heard it in a original dialect, which it's very Scottish sounding, actually. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And it's almost more easily understood in that Scots
dialect.
Well,
and that's where the other approach is, when actors really do approach it. You know, they lead the language rather than the language leads them. And they embrace the vowels and consonants and they really make it sing.
I know, but I'm going to go on a limb here and say I actually don't like the way Laurence Olivier did it. I mean, because it was to be or not to be. And it's like seven hours long way.
So that, you know, there's different styles within that. So whether, you know, you feel that, you know, which of the two is, you know, more preferable to you. I mean, again, I feel that things get lost and it's actually less clear when you try to make a conversation. There were both of these going on. And, you know, I think, you know, clearly, you know, portions of the cast had, I just felt, a better mastery over the delivery of that language than others. And those are the ones that really stood out. And a lot of them were some of those smaller characters, too.
Eric Matthews.
Oh, yes. Eric Matthews, who played Macduff. And also, so in this you've got him, Eric Matthews, Macduff, and then Patrick Connor as three different roles. The two of them, it's like central casting sent you, like, give me two gruff Scottish dudes. You know? But yeah, that's certainly, you know, one of the examples. And there's stage presence and there's vocal presence. And, you know, Eric Matthews, I think, certainly had both, but a great vocal presence. I mean, when he's on stage, you listen to him. But yeah, and there were certainly others which we'll talk about that I think just really kind of nailed that language and made it sing.
Now I know we have different opinions of this. I liked the immersive feeling of the beginning of the show, where we're outside and we are by a campfire, and then later we're in the barn. I enjoyed that. I actually wanted more of that in Act Two. I know some people like a traditional sit down, show me a show.
Yeah, so there is that element. And yeah, you start the show off in like increments. You know, you're outside and you're touring around to these locations.
I love that part.
It's a little confusing. Read the directions. And they're good about showing
you
where
you need
to be.
Yeah, they have like a tour guide.
And, you know, I think as they described it, you know, I read up on the websites to kind of give the impression of the rolling hills of, you know, Scotland. It's a little hard to get that effect with, like, the Silverado in the background of the parking lot.
Mad Max glaring.
So, well, yeah. So, lot. I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's a neat thing to do out there. It's different for those audiences. Yeah. I don't know that, for me, it really... provided a lot, because then, you know, half hour into the show, when you're inside, you've forgotten all about it. Yeah. And there, it didn't really do anything, and I think just kind of came off as gimmicky, but you know, neat. Well, it broke up the show. That's
I saw this play done once at the Theatricum Botanicum in Topanga Canyon in Los Angeles.
That's a, that sounds like a poem.
It's an outdoor
like
venue.
Like a Dr. Seuss, like Theatricum Botanicum, whatever that.
It's an outdoor venue in Los Angeles, and it was beautifully done in an outdoor venue in a canyon. And they were crisscrossing the stage. Mm. They were doing the fight scenes in the aisles. It was amazing. So, and almost all equity actors, though, too, which is also a different thing. It's hard to compare this to other versions of this play that I've seen before.
Right.
Because I have seen some phenomenal productions. Mm. And it's like... It's kind of like comparing an amateur to Venus Williams sometimes, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like beginner tennis lessons to Venus Williams.
Oh, sure, sure. But so there were certainly many, many great things that that stood out. It was tough for me to kind of pin down the concept of this, like time, place, style.
There was something that was interesting, which was the keeping the witches on stage. A lot. Actually having them hold the dagger when he's imagining seeing a dagger before him. That was interesting. The only confusing part about that is the witches also played the murderers.
Mm-hmm.
And I got confused when they were the murderers and when they were the witches.
You know, I think that worked. That worked for me because I know the story. I think people that might be seeing Macbeth for the first time, that might be a little confusing, but I thought that was a very interesting use of them.
The witches.
Yes, and you talk about that dagger scene with the witches. I think that was one of the most artistic pieces of the play, how that was handled.
And, very well done by Jenna Oberg, the
directorial, yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as I said, it's hard to pin down the style. I was digging the costumes.
Oh, the costumes.
Sort of like Hot Topic 1992. Like, if you went to a high school in Bayonne, New Jersey in 92, that's what everybody would have been wearing.
You know,
and there is a Joanne Fabric somewhere in Canonsburg that is sold out of plaid right now.
You know, I saw a production one time where they... used very urban things, and the shields were trash can lids, and the swords were broomsticks.
Yeah.
So, like I've said, I've seen this play a lot. This is probably my fifth time.
Yeah.
But I thought the fight choreography was amazing in the show.
You know, it was. And it was so good, in fact, that I think it actually stood out too much. And this is a compliment, but the intensity in those scenes, nothing else in the play really matched those scenes in intensity.
I literally gasped when Banquo died because it was such a visceral seeming death.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my God, are they hurt? Is she hurt?
No, this is well done.
Another thing I liked about the play that I liked the gender fluidity of it.
Yeah, that worked. I didn't mind that. I kind of, you know, changing though he to her, you know, changing the script. Yeah, I think you could have totally gotten away with it.
I was all weirded out by she's the king.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Nah, they could have gone to queen.
That's all right.
You know, it's not there is a word for a woman that's in charge.
Yeah. Things certainly heat up in Act Two. I mean, after intermission, this thing takes off like a rocket train.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every actor in this are really at their best, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Act One, you know, is kind of tough. And I can't pin that all on the playwright, you know. I think that... You know, there you could have been, but Act
he
Two,
can handle it.
If you can make it to Act Two, you'll see a really good show. You know, there's a lot of great stuff happening.
Yeah, I do have a small criticism about our king, our usurper of the crown, the title, the eponymous self character in the show. And I thought I didn't think he had the charisma to actually be the lead. And matter of fact, he comes off as a bit too nice. Like, he seemed friend-like, and I feel like the role is better suited for somebody with much more gravitas and more, like, dickishness. Well, you know what I mean? Like, a jerk.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. And again, you know, I think that in Act 2, everybody was at their best. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that... that Banquo's ghost scene, I think he really delivered.
Oh, Banquo was very well.
He really, and this is Jared Pfeffingworth, who played Macbeth, I think was really at his best.
And his sister as Banquo.
Yeah, excellent.
Her first name is...
But in those scenes where he began to deal with a little bit of that Rachel. Madness surrounding, you know, the death of Banquo, I think that's where, you know, some of his...
No,
his
best acting best was there.
And that really came
and
across
And it was very...
Well.
The mood was very well done. Mm. Great sound effects, great visual.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Artisticness, yes.
And again, some of those folks, I think, really, again, nailed the language and really brought it across. You know, I think Bill Lyon and his two roles was, you know, very succinct, very good. Oh, and I've got to say, Kathleen Regan.
Hecate.
Hecate, or is it Hecate?
Well, I've always pronounced it Hecate. They say Hecate.
Listen, you want to talk about stage presence.
Oh, yeah.
This actress comes on stage like Godzilla ready to lay waste to Tokyo.
As Hecate should.
Right.
Or Hecate.
And, I mean, is just so powerful and then speaks and, I mean, just commands that stage. And even later, there's just where she's just standing there, you know, like the monolith from 2001 Space Odyssey. And you're just, you know, you can just, I mean, that her presence is palpable.
You can see why the witches fear.
I think, yeah, I really think she's a very strong actress and I really enjoyed everything that she did there. And again, you know, I think two people that really got, you know, were able to get into Shakespeare's language, of course, you know, Eric Matthews as Macduff and Brendan Caris as Malcolm. And that scene in Act Two with Macduff and Malcolm, I think, was the best scene in the play. Not because there was a lot of action, not because there was anything too dramatic going on, but because these two guys really got it. And they, you know, were really making the language flow, and it was very clear. It was probably one of the best acted scenes in the entire piece. So I thought that was that was
excellent. It was interesting.
Too.
I was talking to a young man at intermission, and it was his first time seeing the play. And he was really getting into it. And I thought, this is the perfect production for people who have never seen this show before. Because it was a great place to know it. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of immersive theater at the beginning. It really draws you in.
Yeah, it does. So I think overall, I think, you know, actually the best thing about it and the reason to see it are there are true moments of greatness in this. There are pieces. Overall, maybe a little uneven, but there are really, truly artistic pieces of this that really stand out that I think appreciators of Shakespeare especially will enjoy, because you will see something new. And it's clear to me that those artistic touches come from the direction of Jenna Oberg. I really think there's a lot of very smart, clever things you know, being done artistically, and most of them really, really work. So I think there are a lot of great things
witches,
to be said
I like
about that.
The presence of the witches, that was very nice.
Yes. Compelling artistic touches by director Jenna Oberg is my quote.
Fancy!
Yeah, that's my takeaway. Really worth seeing. I think
go see. And see how bitchy Lady is in this show, because she starts a lot of trouble in the show.
You're ridiculous.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.